Turn with us to First Chronicles. First Chronicles, the 21st chapter of First Chronicles, please. All right, stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Chapter 21, First Chronicles. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But, my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000, 1,000, and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So Gad came to David and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or also 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." And David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell on Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil. And he said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough. Stay now thy hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan and Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your marvelous, marvelous word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. You're the great, the true, the living God. And as we come to you in prayer, it's simply because of the shed blood of your Son. We couldn't approach you any other way, Lord, except by his finished work. And so, Lord, we pray and ask you tonight to help us, God, to empower us, give us wisdom we need as we preach this message, that you will be honored and glorified, and we'll be helped by the word of God. Thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. If you'll notice in the first verse that I read, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. There's at least four times in the scripture when Satan deals with an individual in the scripture and attacks that individual in some manner, different ways, but in some manner attacks that individual. We preached a message on when Satan approached Eve. And we remember how Satan is a deceiver and how he deceived Eve. And he did it with lies. He's a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And so with Eve, he deceived her with lies. Given her simple things as, you know, hath God said? Sure, God had said. And he attacked, as you remember, we talked about how Satan wants to attack your mind. He wants to attack your mind. He wants to get you to believe lies so you will be ignorant of the will of God. He does not want you to know the will of God. And so he tells lies and he attacks the mind so that you will believe those lies and that you will be ignorant of God's true will for your life. We also preached on the subject and where he came and attacked Job. Satan attacked Job and he attacked his body. He attacked him, and the reason he does that is he wants you and I to be impatient with the will of God. Job did not grow impatient with the will of God, and Job went through things, as we talked about, that it's almost unbelievable, the things that he went through, and still accepted whatever the will of God was. You remember we made notice, we wasn't blaming her, we wasn't doing this, but his wife did not accept the will of God. She stood up and said, why don't you just curse God and die? But Satan wants to attack your body so you'll get and grow impatient with what God is doing in your life. God is never wrong in what he does. Is he? God is never wrong, for he's God. But oh, Satan would like for you not only to be deceived so that you'll be ignorant of God's will, he wants you to become impatient with God's will. Tonight we're going to discuss the fact that he here in this portion of scripture attacked David here, and he did it through a thing called pride. Because he wanted David to go and do his will, not God's will. You see, he is the ruler. The Bible says he's the ruler. The Bible says in John 12, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's the prince of this world. Prince and power of the air. In John 14, he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. He is a ruler of this world. Now, we all know he's not as God, and he does not have the final say, but he is over this world system. The system is not designed to glorify God. It's designed to do, as he says here, he wants David and he wants you and I to do what we want to do. What's good in our eyes, not what is good in the eyes of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, if you watch this thing, pride is a terrible, terrible, terrible enemy of God's people, of all people. In fact, multitudes of people do not get saved because of pride. because they will not humble themselves before God Almighty. I worry about some people, and the reason I'm saying this is because there's still a whole lot of pride in a person. A lot of people have so much pride in them. And I ask myself sometimes, was there a time when they yielded that pride to God and was saved? Because that's what it takes. You have to come to that place where you realize you're nothing. You're a sinner, lost. And you'd come before God asking for that salvation. And yet we walk around many times in pride. Pride is a terrible enemy. We'll deal with that in just a little while. I'm going to go over to Timothy. If you want to turn there, be fine. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And I want to read to you verse 6 and 7. When God was telling us in the church to choose out men for the job of a deacon, here's what he said. Not a novice, least being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. You got to be very careful, and person wants to say, well, I'm not a novice. I want to tell you, you better get down the road a ways before you say I'm not a novice. Because old pride is dealing and will crop up in our life. And he says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. A deacon there, he says, must have a good report of those without. He must not be a novice. And other qualifications are there too, but he must have a good report. He must be an honest individual. And a good report. Why? If he don't, he'll fall into the snare of the devil, the Bible says. Amen? And so we know that pride is a horrible thing, and God tries to protect the church from that, and protect God's people and those in places of leadership. That is something we have to deal with when it comes to those in leadership. Pride is out. Amen? So what was David's greatest sin? If I would say to you today, probably the first sin that you think of when we talk about David's sin is the sin with Bathsheba. It was a horrible, terrible sin, but let me say to you, it was not his greatest sin. It was a horrible, pitiful sin, and it caused a lot of damage, and Uriah was killed because of it, and the baby died because of it, and that thing kept going. Ammon ended up dying, and then Absalom because of all of that, and there was a lot of things that happened in David's life and to those of his family because of that sin. But let me tell you, and David even said there concerning the sin of Bathsheba, he said, I have sinned. He said that. But look at verse 8 in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly. He did not say that I have just sinned. He said, I have sinned greatly. He understood the terribleness of the sin of numbering the people without the okay of God Almighty. You see, something that had been done before, we'll talk about that, but they had numbered the people before. There was nothing wrong with numbering the people except the fact that God had not instructed him to do it. There's a lot of things that we think it's all right to do, but God has never instructed us to do it. And we better wait on God, you see. Here, 70,000 people died. And David said, I have sinned greatly. Can you imagine 70,000 people dying? I mean, that's just hard to even imagine in my mind. 70,000, folks, 70,000 people died. I've been told that Linton has somewhere around 7,000 people in it. I do not know for sure how big Linton is, but I've been told that somewhere around 7,000, that would be 10 times the people in Linton. 70,000 people. So what was Satan's target? What was it he wanted to get at? He wanted to get at the will of David. And let me say to you, he is targeting you and my will. Satan wants to control your will and my will. He got David to do what David wanted to do. And it was a disaster. And 70,000 people died because of it. Now, you know what? I don't know how you're feeling now. I don't know what you're thinking now. But if you think Satan has changed his tactics, he's still doing the very same things today. He's trying to deceive you so you won't know the will of God. He's trying to get you to be impatient with God's will because there's sicknesses or things that are happening in your life and you're tired of it. And then also, he wants your will to do your will instead of God's will. And folks, listen. It's serious business. You step outside the will of God, you're asking for trouble. Amen? Amen. You see, the will of a Christian is very, very important. Have we yielded that will over to God Almighty? Have we yielded our will over to the Lord? You see, our will determines the direction of our life. It must be yielded to God. I want to ask you a question. Does God, through his word, tell us to pray? Does he tell us to pray without ceasing? Is that the will of God? Do we do it? Hear what I'm saying? Is it God's will that you read and study this book? Is it his will? Some of you are not answering because you know what I'm going to say next. Do I do it? Whose will am I doing? God's will or mine? See, those are things that are simple truths in the Word of God. You know it's the will of God to pray. You know it's the will of God to read and study your Bible. You know that. God has commanded that in his word. And yet, what do we do? Well, Satan says, you don't have to read your Bible. It's not important. You don't have to pray. I mean, you know, pray for a minute or two and then go on your way. You're too busy this morning. But what is the will of God? Amen. Is it God's will? I want to ask you tonight, the membership of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is it the will of God that they be in these services tonight? Then whose will are we doing when we skip out? We're doing our will. I'll do what I want to do. Not what God says. How do we spend our time? You see, it all determines the will of God. How do you spend your free time? Do you spend it in front of a TV or reading materials that ought not to even be in the home? Would God have you sit in front of a TV for hour after hour and just watch that thing and read those things that's ungodly? Would God have you to do that? Then whose will are you doing? The places we go. There is places that people go, Christians go, that you know if you ask God, he would not want you there. Whose will are we doing when we go to places that's ungodly and wrong? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it affects your whole life. When you determine what the will of God is and you will not do the will of God, you want to do your own will, we are doing exactly what David did here. You know the Word of God tells us how we ought to treat the brethren. Did you know that? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, what God says is this: what are you holding grudges against someone for? What are you doing that? God says not to do that. So whose will are we doing when we sit around and hold grudges and gossip about the brethren and talk down the preacher and the brethren in the church? Whose will are we doing? We certainly are not doing God's will, because God's made it very clear how we ought to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, oh, Satan wants you to do your will, not the will of God. Amen? Over in the book of Isaiah, I want you to listen, and you've heard this many times, so I won't spend much time on it. I'm just going to read them to you. But I want to show you what Satan said. That's the book of Isaiah, 14th chapter of Isaiah. Starting at the 12th verse, you've heard these many times, but listen with your ear, listen with your spiritual ear of what Satan is saying. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, now listen, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights and the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. You've heard that many times. You've heard it preached. You've read it yourself. Listen to the eyes. Now you say that was Satan, but we do the same thing. I will do this. Make a difference what God says. I will do this. I'm going to go against what God says. So we're no different here than basically we're following the same pattern as Satan is following. Because he's saying, I. I think it's five times he says it. Five eyes there. Satan is the ruler of the world. We are citizens of heaven living in his territory. This is his territory. This old world is his territory. And we're citizens of God living in his territory. Amen? Now, what does he use? What is the weapon that Satan uses against us? He uses the word which I talked about earlier. It's pride. You see, David was a proudful man. If you would read back in chapter 20 of 1 Chronicles, I'm not going to spend the whole time doing that, but if you'll read chapter 20, let me get back there to that. Chapter 20, I'm just going to read the last verse. I'm not going to read all those, but it says, and there was born unto the giant in Gath, and there fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. If you read chapter 20, you find over and over and over battle after battle after battle after battle, and David was winning them all. David was tough. David had a great army. David was a great king. And he was doing mighty things. And every battle he fought, he was winning those battles. That brings us to chapter 21. David was a proud man. Nobody going to defeat me. The Bible doesn't say he said that, but that's the attitude he must have had. And he said, you know, I'm so great, I'm going to send my my servant Joab out, and we're going to count the people. How many people am I over? He got proud. Now, I'm just simply saying to you folks, we can do the same thing. We can get proudful. We can get to the point where we believe that we've just got it made. We're just above reproach, and we're above anybody defeating us. And we walk around with our head up in the air and our nose up in the air, and look at what I've done and this and that. I want to tell you, that's dangerous, because there's going to be a fall coming. Just like there was with David. You see, the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, that there are sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. Now I could give you two illustrations. The sin of the prodigal son was basically sins of the flesh. But the sin of his brother was sins of the spirit. You see, we want to talk about the sins of the flesh. We want to come right down on abortion. We want to come down on alcoholism. Yeah, we want to come down on all of those. I mean, you know, this adultery thing. Should we do that? Oh, sure. Should we preach about it? Yes. But there's sins of the spirit also that are just as wicked, and pride is one of them. You walk around in pride. Better than this person. Better than that person. Don't care. I've got it made. Stubbornness is a sin likened unto iniquity, the Bible says. I've heard people say to my face, they didn't realize what the Bible says. I've heard them say to my face, well, I'm just a little bit stubborn. I'm a stubborn person. Well, the Bible says stubbornness is as iniquity. Stubbornness is pride. Rebellion is as witchcraft. You young people, if you want to rebel against mom and dad, I want to tell you, you're like a witch. And we adults, if we want to rebel against God Almighty, we're like a witch practicing witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. Don't you believe the Bible? Sure. See, stubbornness is a horrible thing, but I've seen people brag about their just being stubborn. That's nothing to brag about. There's a difference between being stubborn and standing for right and standing for truth, but just to be stubborn. God looks down on that. That's a sin of the spirit. Bragging about results, I think, is a sin of the spirit. I think churches all across this land is bragging about their results. And they better be careful. They have nothing to brag about. We have to be careful on our bus routes, don't we? Bus captains and bus drivers. We look at our bus and we say, man, we had it full this week. What do you mean you had it full? God had it full. Well, we had a good crowd here at church. What do you mean we had a good crowd? God had a good crowd. You see, we want to go around and bragging about results. Shame on us. Anything good happens, it's because God allows it. We are always grateful and thankful for when the buses are full, aren't we? We're glad they're full. We're glad when the seats are full. We're thankful that God has sent them in, but we don't want to get prideful about it. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's the sins of the spirit that we don't want to talk about. The sin of gossip is a terrible, terrible sin. And people practice that. No, I mean they practice that. It's a way of life to them. It's a horrible sin. But most folk don't want to talk about that. We'd rather talk about abortion, homosexuality, alcoholism. We'd rather talk about all those things, but the sin of gossip will probably do more damage than most of those will do. See, pride is a part of all of Satan's temptations. Listen in Matthew 4. Satan showed Christ when he showed all the kingdoms of the world. You remember when he done that? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And here's what he said. All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Only shalt thou worship the Lord thy God. Now, you know what? He's going to find somebody that's going to take him up on that offer in the Antichrist. But what I'm saying, there's always pride. You know what? If you just worship me, look, you're the head of all these kingdoms. And God, and let me say to you, Satan does the very same thing to Christians today, trying to get you all puffed up. You're this, you're that. So what did David do? Well, David did this for his glory. Now, you go back in the life of Moses, and I think it's in Exodus, the 30th chapter. You go back there and you'll find where God instructed Moses to number the people, count the people. It came from God's lips to Moses for that to happen. David did not do that. He done it for his own glory. Pride. I want to show you over in the book of 3 John. Verse number 9. Urged, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You know all that is? That is pride. In my Christian life as a pastor, I have seen people walk in pride in church in churches. I've seen them in the membership of churches that I have pastored, walking around with their head up in the air, thinking they're greater and better than anybody else. Diotrephes, John says, when I come, I'll take care of you. I don't know what he did, but I think he took care of him. Pride is a horrible thing. If it gets into the church, it's a horrible thing. We ought to walk in humbleness of spirit. Amen? You agree with that? Oh, do we have to do our job? Sure, we have to do our job. Sunday school teacher, do you have to correct someone's in your Sunday school class and see to it that they sit right so they'll hear the word of God? And sure you do. You have to correct them. You have to do right. You have to do all these things. But you don't do it in pride. So Satan attacked him with pride, and David took the bait. What was his purpose for doing that? Well, he wanted David to be independent of the will of God. He wanted him to walk independent of what God said to do. He does the same for you and I today. He attacks our will. Don't pay attention to what anybody says to you. Don't take any godly counsel. Don't pay attention to what the word. You can do whatever you want to do. That's exactly what Satan is wanting you and I to do today. Independent of the will of God whatsoever. Amen? You see, as a deceiver, he made you ignorant of God's will. As a destroyer, he makes us impatient with God's will. And as a ruler, which he is, he wants to rule your will. He makes you independent of God's will. He wants to rule your will. What I'm going to say to you is this. Don't make any major decision until you are sure, completely, fully sure of the will of God. I see people do it all the time. See people making decisions without ever searching out the scriptures and searching out the will of God. There's principles that you can use to find the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, you know you're not supposed to do anything. Because God makes his will very clear and plain. Does he not? In his time, when he decides. Over in 2 Chronicles 26 chapter, let me just read to you a couple verses. 26 chapter. This is concerning Uzziah, and won't spend a lot of time on it, but look at verse number 14, 26 chapter of 2 Chronicles. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbingans and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad. For he was marvelously helped, and listen to what those last few words say, till he was strong. Now let's listen to the next verse. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destructions, to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Folks, listen. When you're strong, someone made this statement not very long ago. Well, I don't have to worry about what's going to, you know, happen down the road. I'm strong. I can make it. I'll be all right. Oh, that's dangerous. That's a foolish statement to make. Because when you're strong is when you're really weak. You see, we find that his heart was lifted up. Why? Because he thought he was strong. And old Satan is doing the very same thing today. Moses warned the people of Israel back in the book of Deuteronomy. He warned them, now when you come into the land, you're going to live in the land that was not your own, it was not yours, and I gave it to you. You're going to eat food that was not, you didn't even plant. You're going to reap the benefits of the land. But here's what he said, be careful, beware when you come into the land, lest you forget the Lord your God. That's what we do. I said something to my wife just the other day. I said, I can't tell you the whole story, but we was talking. And I said, the one thing I want to remember in this situation is not what was provided, but the provider. It isn't the provision that God gives that's so wonderful. It's the provider. The God who provides. Amen. And we must never, ever forget that. That's why Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And what's your defense against this? What are you going to do about this pride? You have living within you, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God. He's a sweet Holy Spirit. He will never, ever lead you wrong. It's impossible for him to do so. The Bible says he will teach you and bring you to all truth. The Holy Spirit will not lie to you. He will bring you to truth. So what do you have to do? You've got, and I have to understand that the Holy Spirit of God in us will guide us and not do anything till God says so. And David did just the opposite. Satan attacked him, wanting him to step outside and be independent of the will of God. And we can do that same thing today. And I believe multitudes are doing that same thing today. I believe a lot of the Christians today are living the life the way they want to live it, not what God says in his word. And the Holy Spirit impresses upon their heart and continues to impress upon their heart the truth of the word of God and the direction that he wants us to go. For God will do that. Are you saved? Are you walking in fellowship with God? This is amazing. People want the will of God and don't even want to walk in fellowship with God. How in the world do you think that's going to happen? It can't happen. It's impossible. You're not going to know the will of God. You're not going to know the will of God if you do not walk in fellowship with God. You're saved and you walk in fellowship with God. You're yielded unto the Holy Spirit of God to teach you and train you in what direction you ought to go. And I believe something. I believe there's three things. I've used it for years. Whenever I'm going to make a decision, the very first thing I ask myself, is this any way contrary to the word of God? Is it any way contrary to the word of God? If it is, mark it off. Don't pursue it no farther. If it's against the will of God, against the word of God, forget it. Secondly, I look at this and I look at the circumstances, the doors that open. There's doors that God opens, but you never bust them down. You let him open them. And God will open the door in his time, in his place. If this is the will of God, it won't be against the scriptures, and the circumstances will come about in such a way that the door will be open. He will open it, not you or me. And thirdly, and this is so important, that the sweet Holy Spirit of God continues to bear witness with you that that is what he wants. Amen. Let me tell you, I've had those first two. I've had those where it was not against the Word of God. Circumstances were opening. Doors seemed to be opening. And even to the point where I thought God was bearing witness that this is what He wanted. But what you need to do is wait. Because you see, when it's God bearing witness, it won't go away. And it won't be some heavy boom let out of heaven on you. It'll be the sweet, precious Holy Spirit of God bearing witness, this is what I want. You may not feel that every day, but down the road, once again, you'll feel that wonderful Spirit of God saying, this is what I want. The opportunity's there. It's not against the Bible. Opportunity's there. This is what I believe God wants. And that's, I can't explain it. All I can tell you is this. When God bears witness, it's that sweet, sweet knowing that it's just God. It's just God. You know it's Him. There's no doubt whatsoever. My preacher told me years ago, when in doubt, don't. I still believe that's one of the greatest principles. If there's doubt, don't. Quit it. Don't jump. Because if God wants it, He'll continue. He'll continue to bear witness with you that this is what you want. See, our problem a lot of times is we never ask Him. We just never ask Him. We don't get Him involved in our decisions. We make the decision. We go forward. We do what we want to do. And that's exactly what David did. Now, He's going to attack you. He wants you independent of the will of God, so your life will get all out of sorts. And it will. Wait on Him. Wait on God. Let the Spirit of God, that sweet Holy Spirit of God, bear witness with you. I don't care how long you have to wait. If you don't have that sweet bearing witness, you better just wait. Until you know this is what God wants. And then when you know what God wants, the circumstances, the doors will be open. You won't bust them open. He will open them. And then you can know you're in the will of God. Amen. Don't get out of God's will, folks. Satan is trying to so destroy God's people. Does it all the time. You know, he don't have to destroy your soul. You're God's child. But he sure like to get you out of sorts with God. He'd like to get you off on a track that you oughtn't to be on. Amen. He wants you independent of the will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your grace, your goodness, and kindness. And I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit of God who guides us into all truth. Thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we don't know what to do. Many times in our life, we have no idea what we should do. And yet we get the guiding from you. You guide us with your eye. You direct us, Lord, through the precious Holy Spirit of God. So we'll know the truth of what we should do. And help us to be patient, Lord. Not get independent of your will, but to always be in the will of God. Father, once again tonight, we ask your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.